So if you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 3, where we are going to see this morning that when people come to Jesus because they saw his signs, his miracles, Jesus always goes straight to the heart of the matter. John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, what's the heart of the matter? The heart of the matter is the heart. It's the heart. We'll see that here as we look at the first eight verses of John chapter 3 as we continue. We began here last week and we were just getting started with this passage last week. And we'll be here for a couple weeks. But this morning we're just going to look at the first eight verses of John chapter 3 as we continue our look at the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. Follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read the first eight verses of John chapter 3 from the English Standard Version. Where it says in verse 1, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' And Jesus answered, verse 5, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.'" At the end of chapter 2, we saw people who were moved by seeing Jesus' miracles. They became interested in Jesus because of what he was doing, these miraculous signs. But Jesus knew they didn't truly believe in him with their hearts. And so we saw this, go back to the end of John chapter 2 and look at verses 24 and 25, where it says, But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man." So we saw the same thing last week here in John 3, and I just read it when we found Nicodemus' statement in verse 2, when he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Nicodemus is coming to Jesus to inquire of him, and he too has been observing Jesus' signs, his miracles. He's aware of what Jesus has been doing, probably healing the sick and giving sight to the blind and making the lame walk. Jesus knows just what Nicodemus needs. As Nicodemus is searching out Jesus and comes to inquire of him, Jesus knows exactly what Nicodemus needs. He doesn't need to know more about Jesus' miracles. Nicodemus needs to know something about himself, something he doesn't understand yet. He needs to know about his own lost condition. He needs to know about himself that he cannot be a part of the kingdom of God without a new heart. That's the heart of the matter. He needs a new heart. He needs to be born again. The heart of the issue that Jesus points to is that Nicodemus needed to know, as we also need to know, we need to know this, that no one can see the kingdom of God. No one can be a part of God's kingdom. No one can participate in God's kingdom. No one can have eternal life. No one can have forgiveness of sin unless he is born again. This is the first truth we see Jesus making clear to Nicodemus. It's this, It's what all mankind needs to know. It's this, it's that they cannot be right with God based on who they are. They cannot be right with God based on what they've done, what they've accomplished. That's because without God giving new life, Nicodemus and all of mankind are, as Ephesians 2:1 says, they're still dead in their trespasses and sins. And in Ephesians 3:5, believers are told that even when we were dead in our trespasses, here's what God did. He made us alive. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. By grace, by God's grace, you are born again. Nicodemus needed to know, just as all people need to know, that this is not a work you can do yourself. You can't do it yourself. Nicodemus needed to realize this. He was a man of stature, a man of accomplishment, a man of position and authority, but he needed to realize that that was all worthless when it came to being saved by God's grace. It is a work only God can do. Bringing new life, giving a new heart. John 5 and verse 21 puts it like this. When Jesus speaks, it says, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will." Only the Son gives life. Colossians 2:13 also makes this clear, that without Christ we are dead in our trespasses, our sins. We are dead. And so you must be born again by God. You cannot give new life to yourself. You can't earn it. You can't attain it. That's the most desperate need of all people, to have new life, to be born again. The solution to spiritual death and eternal separation from God, that's the result of that deadness in sin, is only found through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus tells Nicodemus that to see the kingdom of God, which is to be saved from his sin, he must be born again. And this must have turned the world of Nicodemus upside down. Jesus never made it easy for people to believe in him. It's interesting, isn't it? Jesus never made it easy. He never sidestepped the truth. He never watered down the gospel for someone who was finding it hard to believe. Jesus never said, "Just pray this prayer after me and you'll be saved." He never said that. And so here comes Nicodemus, not really knowing what he needed, thinking he did, but not really knowing what he needed. His whole life had been based on what he had achieved for himself, his station in life, his nationality. He had believed that because he was a Jew, he was already part of God's kingdom. Add to that what he thought he deserved because he was considered to be holier than other people, and because he was a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin, he was a ruler of the Jews, and you begin to understand how Jesus had turned the tables on him, how he had upset his world. And since Jesus knows that Nicodemus needs what he needs, he tells him that he cannot see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. And Nicodemus knew this is something he could not do for himself. That's his question. Can I enter my mother's womb a second time? He knew he couldn't do that. He's puzzled. He realizes this is something he cannot do. And that's exactly what Jesus wanted him to realize. Being born again is something you cannot do on your own, in and of yourself. And here's the second truth Jesus is making clear to Nicodemus. He cannot do this for himself. What part of his first birth did Nicodemus have a part in? Did he cause himself to be born the first time? He did not. He could not give himself his first birth, and he cannot give himself his second birth. He cannot make for himself being born again. Only God can do that, and that's exactly what Jesus wants him to realize, and it's exactly what the writer of John's gospel The Apostle John wants us to realize this is why he's telling us this is not something we can do in and of ourselves. We cannot make ourselves be born again. We need God for that. And we celebrated the Lord's Supper together because we need to be reminded that we needed Jesus for that. God sent his Son so that we could be born again. Nothing Nicodemus could do, no great religious accomplishment, not even being more religious than he already was, could make him a part of the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, get this, you need to realize Nicodemus was plenty religious already. Religious he was. Which is a warning to all people who think that being religious makes them right with God. Nicodemus and you and me, we all need something better than religion. We need new life in Christ. And so Jesus tells Nicodemus that he has to start over. You must be born again. And that puzzles Nicodemus. How can one be born again? So what does it take to be born again? Look at verse 5 for Jesus' answer. Truly, truly, verse 5, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now Jesus is giving Nicodemus more detail about what it means to be born again. What does Jesus mean by unless one is born of water and the Spirit? It seems kind of cryptic. There have been several ideas given by Bible scholars for what it means to be born of water and the Spirit. Some had said that this is talking about your first birth, your natural birth, when it talks of being born of the water. Born of water. Some Bible scholars would say Jesus' statement is symbolizing two births here. The water being your first birth, the Spirit being the spiritual rebirth. But that's not likely, since Jesus' statement here in verse 5 is a parallel statement to the statement in verse 3, unless one is born again. And so there's really only one birth that Jesus is pointing to here, not two. Some Bible scholars will say being born of water is about Christian baptism. But that can't be it either, since Christian baptism didn't yet exist. Similarly, some say Jesus is talking about John's baptism here, but that's not likely a good answer either, since Nicodemus would have understood what John the Baptist's baptism was all about. It's interesting that Jesus expected Nicodemus to understand this. Later in verse 10, move down and look at verse 10. Jesus says to Nicodemus, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Shouldn't you know this by now? So what does Jesus mean when he says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God? There in verse 5. We need to understand that what Jesus is talking about is not two things, but only one. This is one statement which Jesus intended to shed further light on what it means to be born again. What Jesus likely had in mind, in fact, was a passage from the Old Testament. Nicodemus would have been familiar with this passage. That's why Jesus was, you know, expecting him to know this, to understand this, because Nicodemus had access to the Old Testament writings. So I think Jesus is likely pointing back to, it's not explicit here, but I think Jesus is pointing back to this passage. There's a passage in Ezekiel 36. Listen carefully to this passage, because I think we find being born again, regeneration, which is a work of God. You need to hear this clearly. It's a work of God completely being spoken of here in this Old Testament text. Listen to these verses from Ezekiel 36 and verses 24 through 27. Ezekiel 36, 24. And take note of something you're going to hear repeated. It should be obvious. Listen. I will, says God, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Did you hear it? Seven times in verses 24 through 27, we hear God saying, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Who will? Can you save yourself? Jesus is trying to make this clear in this passage in John, and I think it's explicit here in this Ezekiel 36 and verses 24 through 27 passage. Here's Nicodemus, this man who knew the Old Testament scriptures, and I think Jesus is pointing him back to them, pointing back to the Old Testament, saying, in fact, that no one enters the kingdom of God without having his soul washed clean, cleansed through God's word and by God's spirit. And being born again is completely a work of God. In another New Testament passage, Ephesians 5 and verse 26 says, speaking of believers as a part of the church, Christ's church, that they have been cleansed. Here's how: by the washing of water with the word. That points to this need that we have before Christ for this cleansing work of the word in our hearts, in our lives. We need the word. You know what unbelievers need? Believers need the word. You know what unbelievers need? They also need the word. They need to hear the word of truth pointing to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The best way for you to witness is to speak the truth of God's word. You don't need a fancy testimony or a fancy scheme or method to point people to Christ. You need the word of God, because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it does heart surgery in the ears of the hearers whom God is drawing to himself, whom he will save, whom he will give new life and make born again. John 6:36, we hear Jesus say this: it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Believers, you need the word. Unbelievers, you also need the word. This is also what Titus 3:5 makes clear, saying, here, listen carefully, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. This is exactly what Jesus is pointing Nicodemus to as he continues in verse 6. Look at it here in John 3, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus is saying to him, listen, Nicodemus, you may be a man of great learning, but your learning has not brought you into God's kingdom, because it has not brought you to the point where you see yourself as a sinner who is dead in his trespasses and sins and who needs to be born again by God. Jesus is making it clear here that no amount of effort, this speaks to us too, no amount of effort on Nicodemus' part or on our part makes us right with God. No part of doing right makes us right with God. No part of Nicodemus doing right made him right with God. No amount of effort, no amount of learning, no amount of good works saves you. The Spirit gives life. And the spiritual new birth is completely a work of God. This is good news. We don't have to work for God's grace. It's completely a work of God. We cannot work for God's grace. It's completely a work of God. And as Jesus sees, and you can kind of see it here when you look at verses 7 and 8, when Jesus sees the stunned look on Nicodemus' face, Jesus says this. Look at verses 7 and 8 again. Do not marvel. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Hear this, Nicodemus, verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. You don't control the Spirit, Nicodemus. Do you want an illustration of how the Spirit of God works? Do you want to understand more clearly that you don't control the Spirit and that God moves as He wishes in the heart of man? The illustration doesn't get much clearer than this one which Jesus gave Nicodemus. Nicodemus, try grasping the wind. Can you get a hold of it? Try grasping the wind. Nicodemus, try making the wind go where you want it to go. Just try to do that. You can't see the wind. You can't control the wind. And the Spirit of God is like that. Being born again is a work of God on your heart. It's a work of God on your soul. Nicodemus needed to know and believe this. You need to know and believe this too. The Spirit's work is in saving you is all His own. It's all of Him and none of you. Titus 3, verses 5 and 6 makes that truth powerfully clear when it says, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He, verse 6, whom He poured out on us richly through Christ our Savior. How the Spirit of God does this is a mystery to us. It's a mystery. But just like you can see after a storm what a powerful wind has done. You ever do that? Go out into your yard if you've got trees like we do, and you have a windstorm comes through. You didn't see the wind, did you? All you saw was the trees moving. And then you went out into the yard afterwards and picked up all the debris. That's the results of the wind that you didn't see. How the Spirit of God does this, makes us born again, is a mystery to us. But just as you can go out and see the effects of a storm because of the powerful wind, so the effects of the Spirit of God can be clearly seen in the lives of His people. God's people who are born again show evidence of the Spirit. Give you this, a little advertisement. Come back tonight, and we're going to talk about the evidence of the Spirit. The evidence that you are born again. Do you want to know if you're born again? The Bible talks about the evidence that should be apparent in the lives of people who are born again. We'll talk about that tonight. That's the effects of the Spirit of God on your life. So what are the implications of this truth for us today? I'll give you three. Three implications of this and these truths that we've seen this morning that Jesus really wanted Nicodemus to understand and God wanted us to understand because He put it in His Word in this Gospel of John. Here's the first. If you're wondering how you can be born of the Spirit, how you can be born again, look ahead here to maybe the most popular verse in the world, verse 16. John 3:16. You want to know how to be born of the Spirit? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You want to know how to be born again? That He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's being born again. Eternal life. Mark's Gospel in chapter 1 and verse 14 says of Jesus' ministry that He came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is what Jesus was all about. And verse 15 says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe. Believe in the gospel. Believe in Jesus from the heart. Repent of your sin and believe in Jesus. That means you need to repent and turn from your sin, be willing to turn from your sin. It doesn't mean that you need to be perfect, and it doesn't mean that you need to have stopped sinning before you believe in Jesus. It means that you need to be willing to say, I don't want to do that anymore because Jesus died for my sin. I want the forgiveness He gives me. So you repent of sin. You want to turn from that sin and you turn to Christ in faith and you believe in Him. And He forgives your sins. And God will save you, giving you new life. You will be born again. You need to understand this. Being born again is all and completely a work of God in your heart and soul. But you do have a responsibility. There's this tension in the Bible that God draws sinners to Himself. And God saves sinners and God gives faith. And yet there's this tension that we need to be settled with. That we also have this human responsibility. We have personal responsibility. What is that responsibility? Repent and believe in Jesus. Being born again is all and completely a work of God in your heart and soul. But you do have a responsibility. And your responsibility is to repent of your sin and believe in Jesus. Otherwise, you're disobeying. You're running from God. That's the first implication of these truths which Jesus challenged Nicodemus with. And it's this truth that if you're not a believer in Jesus, if you're not born again, repent and believe. That's your job. God's is to give you faith and to give you new life and to give you that life in His Son to make you born again. Here's a second implication. It's for everyone who has repented of sin and believed in Jesus. Here's this implication that I want you to grasp hold of and think about this week. You can live with peace knowing your sins are forgiven. You can know that your sins are forgiven, and because of this, you can live with peace and joy. All that comes as a part of God's work in your heart when He makes you born again is this gift of God so that you can live with peace and joy. Knowing your sins are forgiven, that you are born again, and that you should live with gratitude and live for God's glory. Colossians 3:17 says to you, if you are born again, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, for His finished work for you on the cross. That's through Jesus Christ. Here's a third implication of these truths, that since being born again is all a work of God on your behalf, you need to live every day in light of His grace. God is gracious to you. And you are not perfect yet. I'm confident of that. Just like you can know and be confident that I'm not perfect yet. God is at work, and He is gracious, and He is patient. That doesn't give us a license to sin. That doesn't give us a license to do our own thing and rebel against God and run from Him. But it does mean that He's patient and He is gracious. And often God is not in a hurry. But that should compel us to long to be more like Christ, to learn from God's word and to every day strive for being more like the Lord Jesus Christ, more like our sinless Savior. Live every day in light of His grace shown to you in your salvation. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 will show you what that looks like when it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Do you want to know what good works are? Read the Bible. Obey the Bible. You'll be doing good works. That's what God calls you to do. Once He saves you, once He gives you new life, once you're born again, He doesn't call you to work for your salvation. That's done. It's paid for by Christ. What He calls you to do is joyfully obey. And that pleases Him. That glorifies God. And if God saves you by no work of your own, if you're born again, you can live every day in light of the grace of God toward you. If God saves you by no work of your own, then He will also help you now live for Him. He's given you His Spirit. He's put His Spirit in you if you're born again. And with the Word of God at hand in your heart, the Word that He's given you, you are His workmanship. It is God's job to shape you and form you. It's your job to submit to Him and joyfully obey, joyfully pursue obedience, joyfully pursue the knowledge of His word that gives you hope and joy for every day and strength for the day. He is working in you to help you live according to His word. It's a wonderful implication of this truth that you need to be born again, reminding you that you cannot do it yourself. You cannot be a faithful child of God without God's help, and you have it if you're born again.